This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Welcome back to The Food Fix. I'm your host, Taylor Holterman, and today I'm talking to Lars Fadnes, a professor in the Department of Global Public Health and Primary Care at the University of Bergen in Norway. Lars is also the co-author of a study published in the journal PLOS Medicine in February that found a young adult in the U.S. could add over a decade to their life expectancy by going from a typical Western diet to an optimized diet. Let's talk about these terms, typical Western diet and optimized diet. What do each of these mean in the context of this study?
We defined a typical Western diet based on consumption data from the United States and Europe and contained limited amounts of legumes and nuts, around half of optimal levels of fruits and vegetables, half a liter of sugary drinks, some dairy, around 100 grams of red meat, 50 grams of processed meats, limited amounts of whole grains and fish, but more of refined grains, but one egg, some white meat, and some added oils. The optimized diet is generally in line with traditional Mediterranean diet or close to plant-based diets. Food options are particularly plenty, are legumes, whole grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts, fish, and it contained no processed meats and red meats and no sugary drinks and foods, some but limited amounts of refined grains.
Some typical examples of legumes are beans, peas, and lentils. Your findings show the largest gains would be made by eating more legumes, whole grains, and nuts, and less red and processed meats, and consuming less sugary drinks. Did you find a reason why that's the optimal option?
So we did not assess why it is, but based on other studies, legumes have been shown to have a beneficial metabolic profile, provides fiber, protein, carbohydrates, B vitamins, iron and copper, a lot of different micronutrients. And then the same can also be said about whole grains, and legumes are also practically free of saturated fats and cholesterol. Nuts are highly nutrient dense, and many of the compounds also have been found to have antioxidant and antimicrobial properties, while bread and processed meats are, in contrast, energy dense, have more saturated fats. So these might be some of the mechanisms. But for this study, we did not go into why, but mostly what.
And if someone already has a healthier diet than the typical Western diet, or someone can't quite make all these dietary changes but can make some, can people like that still expect to see benefits?
Yeah, definitely. So these estimates that we presented are going from these points to the optimized points, but there are definitely assumed benefits also from going, for example, halfway or going from to a kind of feasible approach option or from a feasible approach option to a more optimized point. So all of the beneficial steps have their positive gains.
You found that starting the optimal diet at age 20 can increase life expectancy by over a decade for both women and men. And gains will be less, but still substantial for older people. Is that just because they have less time left for the change to take effect?
Yeah, so one aspect is the effect delay. So we estimated that the time to reach full effect was around 10 years, and that most of the effect was likely to be due to a risk reduction in the risk of cardiovascular disease from beneficial changes. And then this background mortality, so that one can expect, for example, in the 20s and 30s are generally low. So the amount of cardiovascular disease development in that age is much, much lower than what one would expect, for example, in the 60s or 70s, but still there would be some morbidity contributing to some differences, although not much, between initiating change from in the 20s or 30s or 40s, while those postponing changes to, for example, in their 60s still could gain about two-thirds of the benefit, but would have lost some of it. And postponing changes to, for example, to the 80s could gain one-third compared to the 20s, but then substantial benefits would have been lost, both due to earlier morbidity and potential mortality before that age.
With that point, it's important to note that these findings are estimates. There's no way for you to predict exactly how many years a person could add to their life making these changes, right?
All of these have some uncertainty measurements. But it's more to kind of show a bit on what type of range people can expect and what type of changes that are particularly impactful and what are likely to have less importance. So the relative aspects are likely to be more robust than the exact point estimates.
You made this model into a tool that is freely available online to estimate the impact of dietary restrictions on life expectancy. Why did you decide to do that? And might it be the first of its kind?
We wanted this tool to be available for people to could transparently make an estimate of what importance different food options will have. It is difficult to kind of put very precise and exact estimates on such choices, but at least to use the best data that we have currently and to let them inform our choices was our main aim. And I'm not aware of a similar tool, but there are probably other either under development, and maybe there are some available. I have not found something which is very similar, at least.
So what's next? Are there plans to continue this work in the future?
Yeah, so we are working to also extend this to also adjust for height and weight differences and differences in activity patterns. We also plan to give some estimates on food and what people can expect in effect on different diseases, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes type 2, and potentially also some sustainability aspects. So we are working on some of these aspects that might be published within the coming months.
Sounds like you are going to be very busy in the upcoming months with that expansion, Lars. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. And for anyone interested in learning more, the study is linked in the episode description, as well as the online tool.
Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
This marks the end of another episode of The Food Fix. Thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. The next episode is about a company that's growing greens up instead of out, 7 feet high to be exact, just 3 miles from downtown Detroit, Michigan. If that sounds interesting to you, you can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, April 12th. Until then, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix to join in on the conversation. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Halterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.